On Republic Broadcasting Network, please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send the much needed fundage to keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. For every $100 that you donate, you will be eligible to win a book from John Statmiller's library. So please get your name and number in there and get that credit card into Mike. Tonight is the Patrick and Jeremy Show. You know the caliber of my guests. You know the man, the legend.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman. Get out!
Standing well over 6'4", weighing well over 245 pounds, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy. And I want to keep free speech alive for our children, but not for our children's children, because I don't think children should be having children.
Very well said. Tonight, we have a very special guest, as advertised. Would like to welcome to the Patrick and Jeremy Show, Brother Nathaniel. Brother Nathaniel, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since I've been on Republic. John Statmiller had me on when I started Real Jew News back in 2008, and that was the end of it. But it's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you. Patrick and I do this show on Tuesday nights and then on Wednesday afternoons. I have my own show. He has his own show. But it started out as sort of a thing where I would call into his show. And then before I got my own show, we would do a show together to sort of supplement. And it turned into this thing that we have now, the Patrick and Jeremy Show. So that's sort of what, that's what we're doing tonight. And so we're really glad to have you on. I want to let
I'm
and Patrick.
Because Patrick and I did a radio show a couple of years ago. And the sound wasn't so hot. But the sound, it sounds good now, so I think we're okay.
And I, I want to apologize. It was about 4 years ago, actually, and it was when I didn't have a very sophisticated system for recording people. And honestly, Brother Nathaniel, I was so excited to have you. I didn't want to waste your time with a sound check. I didn't want to seem too unprofessional. And then after we recorded that show, and you were awesome on the show, to my horror, I realized that I had messed up the sound. Yeah. But this time we'll get it right. Yeah. This time we'll get it right.
All right. Yeah, so I'll ask whatever you want, and I'll answer the best I can.
Let me start out because I got a couple of questions from listeners. And then I want to turn it over to you and Patrick to sort of hash out whatever you guys missed out on the last time. So we have two questions for the Nathaniel. Number one, we have Doug that's asking a question about the difference between the distinctions in Orthodox Christianity. So I think he's meaning like between Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox. So that's question one. And then question two from Dan in Washington is, when did you get red-pilled? Sort of give us a little brief summary of how you became red-pilled, your journey to Christianity. Now, that may be a lot, but if you can give that to us in a nutshell, go ahead.
All right, well, there are two red-pills. There's my religious red-pill and there's my political red-pill. But the religious one with the Orthodox Church is based on the nation in which it was founded and grew. So you have the Russian Orthodox Church, you have the Greek Orthodox Church, you have the Serbian Orthodox Church, you have the Jerusalem Orthodox Church, the Syrian Orthodox Church. And here in America, they're trying to start an American Orthodox Church. Okay, so there's really no distinction in our faith, in our liturgy, in our love for Jesus Christ, in our apostolic tradition. No, there's no distinction there. Now, my red pill, religiously, was when Mrs. Schechter, my bar mitzvah teacher, refused to teach us Christianity when we were studying every religion under the sun. I was 12 years old, and she got up at the end of the session, said, children, and we're supposed to be adults by now for bar mitzvah, we're not going to study Christianity because it's a fairy tale made up by a manic depressant who was a self-hating Jew who changed his name from Saul to Paul, so we're not going to study it. So I raised my hand and I said, well, as far as I can see, all of our culture has been formed. This is in the early 60s, okay, by Christianity, so we should study it. Oh, no, no, this man made up a fairy tale. So I went home and I said to my dad, who was very strong in Orthodox Jew, I said, what's a manic depressant? Okay, this is in 1962. I mean, no one ever heard of this word before. He says, I don't have a clue. So I says, well, Mrs. Schechter says that this guy started Christianity with a manic depressant. Anyways, the next day I go to visit my grandmother in the hospital, and the rabbi walks out. I said, Rabbi, Mrs. Schechter won't teach us about Jesus. We should at least learn about him. And he starts spitting on the hospital floor. You know, a wax floor. You can see yourself like a mirror. And I was just, you know, appalled, you know, for anyone to spit on a hospital floor. So he says to me, don't you ever use that name, Jesus Christ, unless you use it as a curse word. And there is a curse word in Jewish. I won't say what it is. And then he spits again. And I said to myself, these people are so bigoted. I mean, I was fooled on Judaism, but this was my red pill. I said, I'm going to find out about Jesus for myself. And I did when I went to college. We were forbidden to read the New Testament. All right, that's my red pill religiously. I hope that answers you.
What about politically?
Politically, I grew up in Judaism, okay? My dad used to take me to the B'nai B'rith meetings. B'nai B'rith is the umbrella group over a lot of Jewish organizations, like the Anti-Defamation League. So basically, Jonathan Greenblatt, the most ugliest person you ever saw in your life, okay, works for B'nai B'rith. And my dad used to take me to B'nai B'rith meetings. It was an upper middle class synagogue. And they would just talk about, well, who are we going to vote for mayor? Who are we going to vote for governor? Who should be the congressman, state congressman, national congressman? Is this one good for the Jews, or is this one not good for the Jews? And that's what it was. So this is my upbringing, okay? What's good for the Jews, not what's good for the country. So I kind of had a red pill vaccination, if you want to call it, when I was a kid, going to these B'nai B'rith meetings. That all these people care about is what's good for the Jews. And subconsciously, I couldn't articulate it at the time. I said, what about the country? You know, shouldn't we be thinking what's good for the country and not what's good for the Jews? Okay, so that was the beginning of, you know, my taking the red pill, you know, vaccination-wise. Okay,
so,
that's the answer.
Okay, so you went to these meetings, I presume this was in late 1960s, maybe early 1970s. So what was good for the Jews?
This is early 60s.
Early 60s. Okay, so soon after.
After Shabbos Sabbath school, we had B'nai B'rith meetings, and my dad would take me out to it. I'm a kid.
Okay.
So, 11 years old, 10 years old. What?
Okay, so back then, in the early 60s, who or what was said to be good for the Jews?
Yeah, that's all they cared about, what's good for the Jews. And this is when I was a kid.
I'm asking you
I'm already getting red-pilled, okay? What?
I was kind of asking about, you know, specifically Kennedy and Johnson or the Vietnam War, yes or no. What was good for Martin Luther King?
It was this guy who ran against Kennedy. He was a Democrat. The guy who ran against Eisenhower. I forget his name. Adlai Stevenson. Oh, the Jews love them. Oh, he's good for the Jews. This Eisenhower, he's white bread Gentile. This is where it started with Eisenhower, okay? So Adlai Stevenson, he's going to be good for the Jews, and Eisenhower, he's a Republican. All the white Christians will vote for him. No, we have to support Adlai Stevenson. Yeah, I remember that.
And famously,
Jews are political animals, and my dad is very religious, but every Sunday morning is Face the Nation, Meet the Press, New York Times. I mean, yeah. So I grew up in politics. Not that I was even interested, but you couldn't help by osmosis, you know, to soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like it. That's it. What?
I have a quick question. This is Jeremy. So at that time, and I've got to read about this stuff because I wasn't even born yet, but so how did the Jews like take the whole sexual revolution, Woodstock, all of that? Like, because that was sort of a movement that opposed the Vietnam War, but yet you had Kissinger who was very much in support of the Vietnam War. So it looks to me like studying history, you had Jews playing both sides. How did you see it from back
then? The Cultural Revolution is more significant to the Jews because this is going to affect future generations. Okay, now the music industry, as Kanye knows, is run by Jews, okay? So anything that has to do with Woodstock or Bob Dylan, a Jew, okay, is all Jewish, okay? So the whole hippie movement and the whole social revolution and sexual revolution is engineered and run by Jews because this is going to change the culture of the Western world, and it's going to destroy Western Christianity. That's more important to the Jews than a Vietnam War. So the Jews were behind this. Absolutely. And look what they've done today. Now you have little children getting mutilated, and they're getting their penises cut off by Jews. This is the Jewish medical industry, but it's being pushed by Jews because Jews run all the press. I used to live near Mary Rothstein. He changed his name this summer to Redstone. CBS, okay? I know this thing backward and forward because I grew up in it. And I understand all I have to do is look at a headline I know that I can see the Jewish agenda. It's just second nature to me. You have a lot of Gentiles that are trying to expose the Jews, like this guy, I forget his name, he had to go underground. He's a Gentile guy. Slandered me. I forget his name. At any rate, they really can't grasp it. David Duke is probably the closest to it, but you got to be Jewish to really understand it too and how they think. And that's me, Brother Nathaniel.
Well, thank you for your service. Okay, you mentioned Kanye. What do you think about Kanye? Well, Is this a major problem
silent.
For
Jewish power structure? They're silencing him, okay? He's a little nutty, too, okay? But they're silencing the guy. He says a lot of good things, and they're true. But you're not going to hear from him too much anymore. I think they shut down his YouTube channel, and he's off of Twitter after he put the swastika up, and which was stupid of him. Because elites must gave him a venue. That was stupid. He's a little nutty, and I know that he has psychological problems. I think he's even admitted it. So I think we're not going to hear much from Kanye anymore, and he did it to himself.
So here's the question. He said that everybody has something good to bring to the table, especially Hitler. The normalization of Hitler, is that a strategy that is important?
This is ancient history. And for Kanye to even bring it up, I thought was stupid. That's fine to do it. And he did it. I know why he did it. You know, to scandalize people. It threw Alex Jones, off his chair, okay? And I've read so much about Hitler, okay? But this, to me, is not the issue at all. This is ancient history. It's like 9/11. This is ancient history. It's over. I deal with what's happening now and what the Jews are doing now, okay? And to me, this is irrelevant. We have to reach the new generation. And they don't give a damn about Hitler. They don't even know. They don't know anything about him. All right? And it's just irrelevant to bring it up.
So are you familiar with Nick Fuentes?
I've read so many books about him, but I think it's irrelevant, and I don't.
Yeah, I don't talk a whole lot about Hitler, as our audience knows. Are you familiar with Nick Fuentes?
With who?
Nick Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes.
He's a young man. He's about 24 years old. Kanye took him to Mar-a-Lago with him.
I have to laugh about this Nick Fuentes. I know nothing about him. So I say, okay, they're calling him a white supremacist. So I'm thinking Fuentes. That sounds Mexican. So I did a little, internet search. Yeah. So he's a white supremacist. He's Mexican. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. Okay, Nick Fuentes has no reach whatsoever. No one ever heard of this guy. Okay? I hardly even heard of him. I don't know anything about him, and I don't even want to know anything about him. All right? So this, to me, is not going to make a dent anywhere. So I'm not really interested in Nick Fuentes at all.
Mm. Okay.
But he shot himself in the foot, okay? That was stupid for him to put the swastika up in the Star of David. That was just stupid. And the guy is not mentally stable, all right? So Kanye is out of the picture now. We have to deal with what's relevant and what is making a dent. And that's all we're doing, is making a dent. I used to be on YouTube. I made a big dent. But YouTube banned me, okay? Susan Wojcicki, she's a Jew. She runs it. But she works for the Mossad. Mossad runs Google. I know the whole history of Google. I know the whole history. These two boys, Sergey and the other one, I forget his name, were Stanford
Larry students.
They had nothing, and they propped them up, and then they threw them under the bus. And now this company is run by Alphabet. It's a Jewish operation. They call themselves Alphabet. All right. So next question.
If I could break in with one thing, I think the reason why a lot of people on our side of the fence were a little excited about what Kanye did was because he already had a lot of fame and prominence. And so to talk about Jewish power is to sort of bring that to the forefront in the mainstream media.
He blew it. Okay. He goes on Alex Jones. He wears a mask over his face. He looks like a total nut.
Oh.
He blew it. Okay.
I agree that the mask was horrible. I wish that he hadn't worn the mask, but what happened.
Okay, he's mentally unstable. He's finished. He's over. They silenced him. It's done. And then we're going to move on from Kanye, okay? And Dave Chappelle works for the Jews. Okay, so he comes on with a comedy routine. Then he goes back to his comedy clubs with his vulgarity, okay? These people are not going to help us. They're really not, okay? They're not.
Do you see a shift in the mainstream narrative, though? Are more people talking about Jewish power than they were?
Yes, they're talking about it, but they can't do anything about it. You think the Jews care? I mean, the Jews don't give a damn what the Goyim think. I mean, they have such a stranglehold on this country. They don't give a damn what the Goyim think. And the Goyim, are they going to do anything about it? No. The American Goy is the most stupid person walking the face of the earth. And I'm not the only one that says it. Paul Craig Roberts says it all the time. And he doesn't call them boys, okay? He should, okay? But, you know, he wants to be, you know, very, you know, genteel. I'm not. I'm not genteel. I am not. Because I know how the Jews look upon the Goyim. They look about, a lot of them, as they're a bunch of suckers and stupid and easily swayed. Look at how the mainstream media has lied to us over the past 8 years, especially with this Russian gate. But the Goyim still go to CNN. Didn't you learn anything from CNN, you stupid Goy, that they're lying to you? Now someone, Goy, said to me on the plane the other day, Ukrainians are winning. Ukrainians are winning. They're beating the hell out of Russians. So where'd you see that? He said, I saw one on TV. Well, this is the guy wearing
That brings me to another segment of the show that I wanted to get into with you. So we're talking about the mainstream narrative being shifted. People are tired of this Ukraine war. I mean, we can tell that because of what Tucker's saying. The right wing is finally getting tired of it. Definitely people in Europe are tired of freezing to death to stick it to Putin. So how do you see this narrative playing out? Will people rise up and push back against this Ukraine war? And
no,
will people realize?
The American boob is a gullible kind of guy, okay? And he may complain about the prices. He may complain about Biden, but he doesn't do a damn thing. And he won't, because he's basically gutless. We got so many damn guns, okay? And a guy will not use them. So that's what Trump should have done. He should have deputized all his people and said, the hell, we've been this fraudulent election with, wasn't a really election. It was a mail order vote. And he should have deputized the people. That's it. America is at a crossroads. We're finished. And it's now or never. But he caved too. And he was waiting for Pence. This guy's a stiff. This guy can't smile. There's something wrong with a guy who can't smile. So for Trump to trust Pence, I lost all hope in Trump. I said, what the hell are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah.
If you could give advice to somebody, A, who would you give it to, and B, what would that advice be?
Well, my advice now, America's toast. It's over. We got just a bunch of fags, queers, homos, Jews running the queers, fags, and homos, okay? All right, so Biden is totally under the thumb of Jews. He's got a whole slew of Jews. I've done many videos on it. Everywhere you look in the Biden administration, Jews, okay? And now the Jews got him, and they're just rubbing this in Christians' faces, and white Christians, they're rubbing it in our faces. Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act, is what it really is. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is. America's finished. It's over. We're done. Okay, they're teaching homosexuality, transgenderism, and all this SHIT in schools. It's over. We have to realize it. It's done. They locked us down for two damn years.
Is there no way out? Is there no way out?
Secession is the only way. Yeah, that's the only way. Secession. Secession is the only way. Now, what we have here, okay, in what we call the Pacific Northwest, we have different secessionist movements growing. And they're looking at the Indian tribes who are sovereign. They have their own license plates. They have their own liquor laws. They don't go by anything in the federal government. They're totally sovereign. And we're seeing how they operate. It's going to take time, but it's over. There's no hope. I don't give a damn who gets elected. DeSantis isn't going to change anything. He goes over to Israel and signs legislation for Florida. Okay, so your Jews, what kind of flavor Jewish control do you want? What kind of flavor do you want? Do you want Republican flavor? Do you want anti-woke flavor? You got DeSantis, okay? Do you want homosexual and woke flavor? You got the Democrats. The Jews control all sides, and they will stay in control, and they will control D.C. That's
interesting.
Just going to get worse.
That's an interesting take, Brother Nathaniel. If I could, I wanted to share with you this and get your comments. I've often thought that secession was the way, and here's the form that I saw it in. Like Kentucky and Tennessee, their legislatures have anti-COVID legislation, anti-child trannyism. They have laws that protect children from child trannyism. So all of this in the face of the federal government. So I see more conservative-minded states doing legislation that goes against the federal government. Would this be like sort of what you're talking about when you talk about secession? Is states making laws that fly in the face of the
federal government? It's not going to change anything. They still support the Ukraine war. I mean, the Republicans everywhere. Everywhere I go, oh, we got to beat those Russians, or if we don't beat them there, they'll get us here. What is
I've noticed
they have some legislation here and there, but they're still tied into the federal government, and the federal government's going to have the last word, okay? And their public schools are still run by Jews. The American Federation Teacher always started as a Jewish organization, okay? And you have Tammy Weingarten, she's a lesbian Jew, and she runs the public schools. And I don't see that changing. And the parents, they're divorced, and they're not going to send their kids to private school. They don't have the money. They don't have the transportation. How am I going to get the kid to their private school? We got a bus. We have a yellow bus that picks up my girl and boy, and they'll go to the public school. So the public schools, Randy Weingarten, the Jew lesbian, is teaching them critical race theory, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism. I don't see it. I mean, we can look here and there and have hope. I have no hope. No. Uh-uh. I don't. I am a realist, okay? I know the stranglehold that Jews have on this country better than anybody, okay? They control every facet of this country, beginning with the Fed, beginning with the monetary policy. They could destroy this country anytime they want with interest rates. So I hate to be so pessimistic, but it's realistic.
So here's the question. What does secession look like? Where does it take place? And what do the emerging secessionist governments look like?
All right, I have done so many videos on this. There's one thing is we have every state that I've seen has resources. What does D.C.? D.C. doesn't have any resources, so we begin by saying, hey, we got the potatoes here, okay, we've got the cornfields here, we have rare earth minerals here, and all right, we don't have to come out of D.C., so we're now looking to become sovereign. But it takes some people with some guts. It takes some people willing to say that's enough. We don't want to be ruled by D.C. anymore. This is going to take a long time, but if we're thinking about our children and grandchildren, then we have to start looking at it and thinking about it. Now, I'm not the only one who's doing this. The other one who's doing this is Lou Rockwell and Tom Woods. So Tom Woods just did a book on this about the whole concept of secession. We really have to start looking at this, and we have to start studying it, and we have to have the balls and the guts, okay? And the stones, okay, so to speak, to say that's enough. But I'm not sure that the Goyim have that in them. But here in the northern Pacific Northwest, we do have people, okay, and we do have groups that are forming. Huh?
We're up on the break, Brother Nathaniel. We're up on the break. Hold that thought, and we'll be back on the other side on In Plain Sight.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Republic Broadcasting Network special guest, Brother Nathaniel. So glad to have you, sir. Patrick, you and Brother Nathaniel were talking before the break. Brother Nathaniel, the break interrupted you a little bit. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, and then Patrick had a question for you.
Yeah, well, go ahead with a question. I can't remember where we were at.
Yeah, so it's regarding secession. So in the United States, we had 150 years ago, the southern states attempted secession. There was a bloody civil war. More recently, in the Soviet Union, there was secession, and the Russian central government said, well, it's more trouble than it's worth to keep them here. So they were just allowed to go. If Pacific Northwest states or some other states wanted secession, do you think there's a possibility that the federal government would just say, well, if we didn't have to worry about these people, we could push our trannyism and our agenda that much harder? What do you think if you had some states attempt secession where they're declaring independence from the United States of America, do you think there would be a military response or a good riddance response?
Okay, this is now grassroots. Okay, I'm looking, for children and grandchildren. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. Okay, I'm 72 years old, but at least I am involved, okay, in getting this thing off the ground. And we have people in the Pacific Northwest. We also have in Oregon numerous counties. I think there's 11 or 12 now that want to move into a greater Idaho, and they don't want anything to do with Seattle. Okay, so I'm talking about in the eastern part of Oregon, not Portland. They don't want anything to do with Portland, okay? So this is now just getting started. When I say just getting started, it's not like yesterday. It's been brewing for 7 years, okay? And it is growing. And if you go to my site, Real Jew News, and you'll see I've done so many things on secession. Secession is the only way, prepping for secession, how secession works. And I go into all the details. But for your listeners and for what we're doing now on this radio show, it has to begin with an idea, with a concept, with grasping that this is possible, it is legal. And I would refer everybody to Tom Wood, Lou Rockwell, and just do a search on Lou Rockwell's site, which is very popular, very conservative-oriented, and do a search in his search part, Secession. And you'll see this book that Tom Woods just put out. He's a close friend of Ron Paul. He helped Ron Paul, I think he was campaign manager when he was running for president. And he just put out a book, and it's an e-book, too. You can download for free just to whet people's appetite to see that this is really the only way. So this is not some wacky idea that, you know, that I came up with. Others are talking about it, and very important figures, political figures, who do have influence. And I think Rockwell and Tom Woods probably has more influence than me, okay? And they are talking about this, okay? So if we, you know, start talking about it and seeing that this is our only hope, and... but we have to defend against Jews infiltrating this too, because they could get onto it and infiltrate it. And this is something that people have to be aware of, that Jews can just wreck anything. They wrecked the Tea Party. Yeah, the Jews infiltrated the Tea Party and they ruined it. So the Jews will see what a trend is, and they jump on the Trump train. And they're jumping on the DeSantis train. Well, DeSantis already has old Jews as his big money people. I mean, Miami Beach, these are his main supporters. He just did a big, big conference in Miami Beach for his donors. Well, Miami Beach and his donors just put it together, Jews.
So here's something I had a question to piggyback on that, Brother Nathaniel. So... back in the late 1950s, Little Rock, Arkansas, and you had the governor enacted the National Guard to protect a school from desegregation, and then you had the president basically nationalize the guard, right, to force desegregation at gunpoint. So with that precedent in mind, let's say, you know, today we have Kentucky and Tennessee that have anti-tranny laws. They're not allowing children's hospitals to do tranny surgeries. What if the federal government said, well, you have to allow this under the 14th Amendment? And do you see, like, the federal government nationalizing the Guard? Do you see a repeat of the late 1950s when it came to desegregation?
All right. We've got more guns, okay, in this country, all right, then I think 10 countries combined in Europe, all right? We've got so many damn guns, okay? So it's time, okay, for people in various states to start forming militias. Now, we have militias up here in the Pacific Northwest. We do. See, what happened during this whole Black Lives Matter deal, okay? A bunch of liberal whites and a few blacks decided to come from Coeur d'Alene into our area here, okay, in the northern panhandle. All right, because the police force here, some of them are militia people, they went out on the main drag, Highway 2, with their rifles. They said, you ain't coming here. and they did not. They did not come here. So the Goyim have to grow some balls, okay? They got so many damn guns, okay? And so yeah, they got to grow some balls and not keep their guns locked up. Oh,
what
was the saying on the bumper sticker before they take my gun? I forget what the bumper sticker was.
Yeah, I would. Okay? I would. So they have to start saying
we got the Second Amendment,
stuff,
and we're not gonna put up with this HHIT anymore.
Hey, I've got a question. At the beginning of the show, you were talking about you grew up in the Orthodox tradition, and you talked about an Orthodox rabbi spitting on the floor at the mitzvah.
Jewish. Okay.
I'm sorry. On my show Orthodox Jewish. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't want to cause any confusion. Yeah, Orthodox Jewish.
Synagogue. And I think that's a better way of putting it. Okay, because that shows that this is a collective scenario that I grew up in.
So here's the question. So obviously within the Jewish religion and the Jewish religion as practiced by Orthodox Jews, not necessarily exclusively by them, but there is an awful lot of hatred towards Christianity, hatred towards Jesus Christ. Now on the other hand,
by all Jews,
when you look
by
at
all Jews.
By all Jews. Okay. By all Jews. Okay.
The secular Jews.
And then when you
look. Vicky Newman hates Christian Russia.
Oh. And I say that, I've been saying that for years with regards to her in particular. But here's the question. When
she represents all the secular Jews. Okay.
Right. Okay. So you got these secular Jews.
All these Jews. Okay.
Here's my question. You've got these secular Jews who also are very, very anti-Gentile, right? We're in agreement on that. They're also very anti-Gentile, and they get into these positions of power, like heads of the State Department. They're running the State Department. They're running the Federal Reserve. They're running banks. They're running the media. So here's the question: for a young secular Jewish person, what if he were to get involved in Chabad Lubavitch and spends a lot of his time studying Torah as opposed to rising in the corporate media ranks or whatever? Does Chabad Lubavitch do they make Jewish power stronger, or do they make it weaker because they distract?
What the hell?
Yes,
they don't have any damn influence at all. This is a very small.
They don't have damage source at all?
None.
Thank you. Tell me about it.
I mean, come on. This is ridiculous, Chabad.
I know it's ridiculous, but
this is a small tiny fraction
there's
of
a lot
the
of coming from you and me.
What?
I say I know it's ridiculous, but it carries a lot more weight having you, with you saying it than with me saying it.
Well, I know. I studied with Chabad. I studied with the Lubavitchers. I know them. I know them inside out. But I don't have to study with them. I don't have to know them inside out. Just look at it. This is a very tiny minority of the Jewish power system. And they are not involved in the power system. They are not.
Thank you.
The power
Thank
system
you.
Are Vicky Nudelman. This is the Jewish power system. Blinken. Okay? Schumer. This is the Jewish power system, not Chabad.
Right. So, Brother Nathaniel, I just to clarify things, I've been saying that for years and years and years, and I've had major, major disagreements with people like Adam Green and others who want to concentrate on Chabad. And I'm saying Chabad's...
Yeah, forget him.
They're
this
not part
nothing.
Of the power.
Okay, this guy has no relevance whatsoever. This is Adam Green. Nothing.
Yeah.
He's
asked you that...
This wicked man now, I forget his name. Forget Adam Green. You're wasting your time
I had to ask you this in a way that was not a leading question because I wanted to get your genuine answer, and I am glad you gave me that answer, and I agree with you 100%.
It's the real answer. I'm giving you realism. Look, I'm 72 years old, okay, and I'm just going to call it like it is, okay, and that's it. Chabad has zero power, zero.
Thank you
Lincoln
very much.
And Noodleman have all the power in their people. There's that's the power, okay. And I got Gentile window dressing at the Fed. He's nothing. He's just Gentile Goyim window dressing. This whole central bank system throughout the Western world is run by Jews, and it revolves around the Rothschild dominion. And it has been since Napoleon lost at Waterloo. Okay?
Okay.
So I know some history,
thank
too.
You. Jeremy, your witness.
So, Brother Nathaniel, you have so many videos that so many people have watched. We've played clips of them on our show. You gave us a little bit of an insight into your early days of red pilling. So let me ask you this. What got you into making videos? When did that start? And tell us about getting banned from YouTube.
Okay. I finally decided, because I understood Jewish power from the inside since I was a child. All right? More so than anybody, right? More so triple what David Duke knows, and he's probably the best there is, okay? I know triple. But not only do I know triple, I know it from the inside because I know how Jews think. I know how they operate, all right? They operate on maybe 100 different layers, and people can't grasp it, but I can immediately. So what I decided was I saw that the Jews were pushing lesbianism, and that it was going to come into the public schools. It wasn't at the time when I started this in 2007, but I saw it coming because I understood the whole sexual revolution that was by the Jews. I understood the whole homosexual thing was by the Jews, and it was just a matter of time before all these Jews who were on the Supreme Court and the apostate Catholic were going to make it, you know, a Supreme Court ruling, homosexual marriages, all right? So I saw this coming, and I said, that's it. I am now going to put myself on the line, and I am going to expose the Jews. So I started off with articles, Real Jew News, and I show, here's what they're doing. Here's a statue in a park in Manhattan near NYU, and they show two women holding hands, a statue. Okay? I said, this is what's coming, people. All right, so then I decided, all right, with YouTube, okay, right after it was sold, okay, by this guy who, you know, had really free speech, and he had guys putting their girlfriends on naked, but at least it was free speech, all right? So I decided I'm going to go on YouTube, and I'm going to do videos because this is what's happening. And boy, I went big. I put up a video, and within 2 weeks, I had 300,000 views. Before Wyszynski banned me, I had 80 million views. And everywhere I went, people recognized me and want to take pictures with me, but then they banned me. Okay, once you're off of YouTube, you're finished. Right, BitChute is good, Rumble's good, but no, the go-to place is YouTube. So once they did that, I realized my reach is over. And even though I had the reach, I wasn't really making a difference. Okay, everyone says, oh, Tucker Carlson, what the hell did Tucker Carlson do with this red wave? So what influence does Tucker Carlson have? Okay, the Democrats are still ruling the Senate. And Schumer, I can't stand this guy. You know, his daughter's a lesbian married to a woman. Okay, so what has Tucker Carlson done? Nothing. We really have to understand what's going on here. We have no damn influence. You having a guy like Tucker Carlson with his tremendous viewership, he's not doing anything. We're in trouble, okay? And I said in my last video, we're in deep shit. And I use this, you know, rhetorically, you know, as a license to speak this way. But this is true. We are in deep shit. We are. And I see the only hope, okay, is to build for the future, for the children and the grandchildren by secession. We cannot allow D.C. to run us down to the ground because D.C. is Jew. It's Kuykendall, and it's going to destroy us, and it already is. for children to be mutilated, that the children now be thinking that girls, that he, she should be a boy. This was unthinkable 20 years ago. Now it's become vogue or mainstream. And if you say otherwise, oh, this is transphobic. Well, what the hell, this word, where did this word come from? We're in, we are in D-S-H-I-T, okay? And to think that DeSantis is going to change anything, forget it. Or Trump? No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I've got another question. So, you know, there's pretty clearly a Jewish agenda or Jewish agendas. And there are people who, you know, they think that the Jewish power system works the same way as the military. You've got the, you know, the chain of command. You got the president, and he gives order to the Secretary of Defense, and then you got the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the generals and the colonels, and it goes on down the line. There's some central structure, and they think that that's, you know, there is a some sort of secret group of Jews who meet secretly and give orders, and all the other Jews follow the orders. Is it like that, or
no,
is it
of
just
course
the,
it's not
the,
like that.
The Jews are just like on the, they're
the
operating on the same frequency, they're on the same wavelength,
okay,
and
so
they just kind
of read a book called The Particles of the Elders of Zion. They'll tell you how Jews think. Okay, yeah, they'll tell you how Jews think.
Yeah,
and there's no way a goy could have written that. No way. I've read it. I've read it 2-3 times. Okay, and every time I read it, I say a goy could never write this. He could not think in this devious, multi-layered fashion. Could never write it. It was written by Jews, and I proved it in one of my articles. Okay, so if you read that, you'll understand this is a collective type of thought process. The Jew has got to be on top. All right, now you can have a conservative Jew, so to speak. It's impossible for you to be conservative because they're not conserving anything that's Christian, which built the Western civilization. Okay, so they're not conservatives. And you have the liberal Jew, but they all think the same, that they have to control the goyim. So you might have a so-called conservative Jew, like this Prager, this hideous hook-nosed kike, who comes out that gay marriage is fine. Well, what the hell is he conserving? Okay,
And cool it so with the anti-Semitic remarks.
They all have the same outlook. They have all got the same worldview. And there's no one giving orders from the top. They just have to get into power, and they are in power, and they have been really, since 1913.
You're saying there doesn't – excuse me. So you're saying there doesn't need to be someone at the top giving orders?
No. They all think the same, and they all do the same damn thing. They're all from the synagogue of Satan. And the one who calls
himself
is Jesus Christ.
They don't
in the book of the Revelation. In
Christ.
This is universal.
So
it's collective and it's
excuse me. I just want to clarify. So they don't have to meet in a Elders of Zion type of conference room in order to work things out. They know intuitively.
The Elders of Zion never said that. Okay? It just took it for granted that all Jews think the same. There was never any hierarchy.
Okay.
No.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean, you have money people pulling the strings who finance the goyim running for senator or congressman, but they make sure that they're in the Jew's pocket. The only one who really wasn't was Ron Paul. But Ron Paul decided he's not going to be a congressman anymore. That's it. He has nothing now. He has zero influence. Ron Paul Institute, nothing. No one listens to him. Who goes to the Ron Paul Institute? He's preaching to the choir. It's a very small group. He has zero influence.
So nobody,
zero.
Okay.
And
so
Rand
nobody had
to sell out the Jews too. What?
Mm-hmm. So nobody had to tell Victoria Nuland to do this war on Russia. It's something that she just kind of figured out for herself, right? She didn't have to
it's
be ordered to do
the
it.
The Kagan family and Blinken and all the Jews in the State Department that have been Wendy Sherman, and they have infiltrated the State Department ever since World War One. And of course they hate Russia. Of course, Russia is Christian. And it's not nationalistic Christian. Okay, it's not Protestant Christian, it's Orthodox Christian, which is collective and understands nationhood and that Christianity has to form national policy. So it's different than Protestant Christianity. which is divisive and fragmented, and they have a visceral hatred for Russian Christianity. And now Putin has come in, and he's reviving the church, and they are going to continue to send money and weapons to the Ukrainians because they can't think straight. The Jew can't think straight. All he sees is Putin. All they see is the Patriarch of Russia and a Russian Orthodox Church, and that the Jew is a second-class citizen, and they cannot think straight. And
so
they run this country. Jews are the most neurotic people walking this face of the earth. Every single Jew is on Prozac, I guarantee you. I know the medical field because I have cousins and I have a brother in the medical field. I know every Jew is on Prozac. I'm not, but every other Jew is. And they're running this country.
If I can break in, the observation is that there's a hive mind among Jewish power. Now, Dr. Kevin
McCullough. Thank you. That's very well said.
Yeah, a hive mind. Someone like Dr. Kevin McDonald, who is not a Christian, he would describe this as genetic disposition. But Brother Nathaniel, you and I as Christians, you know, we see this as a spiritual battle as well. I mean,
it's a spiritual
battle.
McDonald is on to something. I think because of Jewish hatred of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years, I think it has entered into the DNA. Okay, I think there is, I mean, we're body, soul, and spirit, okay? And I think these things work together. And Jews are so hardened against Jesus Christ, okay? Yeah, I think it has entered into their DNA. But this is not a historical DNA problem because look at all the Jews who loved Jesus and became Christians and established the church, the Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
Okay. These were the apostles and the disciples. They were Jews. Okay. Jesus was loved by the people. But over 2,000 years, this hatred of Jesus Christ has just grown, you know, to a visceral level. And they can't think straight. They cannot.
We are at the end of the show. Brother Nathaniel, we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for coming on. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. Thank you, Patrick.
And thank you, Brother Nathaniel. It was great talking to you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad to do it, you know, let people know, you know, what's going on. I'm a realist.
All right. Thanks a lot. Y'all stay classy and, tune in to Patrick and Jeremy Part 2 tomorrow on National Bugle Radio, 1 p.m. Central. Be there or be queer.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.